Good afternoon and welcome to the Afternoon Magazine. And today we have a new edition of Sky Guys. I'm meteorologist Ed Keezer, joined by the coordinator of the William M. Starkle Planetarium at Parkland College, Dave Leak. And we're here to take your questions about anything related to the sky. It could be a weather question, an astronomy question. I don't know if it's something in between.
A Star Trek question.
There's some people that are really good at Star Trek trivia.
That brings back some memories.
So I can't answer that. But anyway, if you have any questions about the sky, it's a fun time. The hour goes fast, so we invite you to call in. The numbers to call, 333-9455, 333-WILL, or toll free anywhere that an 800 number works, 1-800-222-9455, 1-800-222-WILL. And Dave, welcome back to WILL. It seems like we did this not that long ago, but I think it was...
It's been a few months. Thanks for having me back. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good, too. Getting through the fall semester at Parkland.
And we're officially into fall because the astronomical beginning of fall was yesterday.
Yes. Now, I know you guys are talking about fall since the beginning of the month, though, right?
Yes. Climatological fall is September, October, November. But we had the autumnal equinox yesterday.
Yeah, it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I think. Something like
4:18 Central Daylight Time. And now, what does that all mean? You know, somebody did have to come by my office. So do I stand the egg on end? Then?
You can stand an egg on end. If you're really good at it, you can do it. It's just you can do it any day of the year.
Exactly.
And no one tries it except on the equinox. So
one of those silly things.
Try it any other day, too.
Well, if you were curious about equinoxes or solstices or what it all means, you can give us a call. And I see we already have a few people lined up to take calls. So why don't we go to the phone, see what people
have
to say. And we're going to start out with a listener in Champaign on line one. Good afternoon. Welcome to Sky Guys on the Afternoon Magazine.
Good afternoon. I've heard recently, well, maybe even not recently, but that the universe is getting bigger, faster, but the galaxies are not getting bigger. How do they know that the galaxies are not getting bigger along with the universe?
Dave?
Well, my closet's not getting any bigger, I can tell you that. In fact, my garage is getting smaller, I think. But, well, it has to do with the large-scale structure of the universe. It, you know, the space in this office is not really getting any bigger. It's really on the largest scales possible. It's almost like taking a balloon and putting some dots on it and then stretching the balloon, and that's really what's going on. And even if you try that with some dots, the dots themselves don't really get all that bigger. It's really the space in between. So that's really what's going on. Of course, the galaxies are also held together by gravity. So it's really the space in between them, because there's a lot of space in between them. So that's kind of the short answer to that.
Well, we thank our first caller for that question. And our second caller of the day is also calling in from Champaign this afternoon. So we go to line two, and welcome to Sky Guys.
Hi, I have a question. When you see a sun dog around the sun, like that, it looks kind of like little rainbows, and they just are on the edges of like clouds that are out there. Why is there a sun dog, if there's enough clouds, why is it that it's equidistant on each side? I don't quite understand what makes it be like in a circle, basically.
It's a great question.
It has to do with the makeup of the clouds and the refraction of light through the clouds. And basically, to get a sun dog, we typically have cirrostratus clouds. Those are ice crystal clouds high in the sky. And when I say high, that is in terms of comparison to other clouds. Those clouds are roughly around 25,000 feet, 5 miles up in the atmosphere. And cirrostratus clouds are an ice crystal cloud that spreads out in what we call a stratiform formation, just flat cloud, as opposed to cirrus clouds themselves, which are wispy. So it's just kind of a flat ice crystal cloud. And the ice crystals collectively, and there's millions of them, making up the cloud, refract the sunlight. So the sunlight comes through the cloud, through the ice crystals, and bends in a way that you see that light at approximately 22 degrees either side of the sun. Sometimes you'll see just one sun dog. Sometimes you'll see two, because if the ice crystal clouds are only on one side of the sun, you'll only see it on one side. So the cloud particles, the ice crystals making up the cloud, have to be just so for you to see a sun dog to begin with. But the reason you don't see the sun dog everywhere in the sky is due to how the light from the sun is refracted through the ice crystals making up the cloud. And sun dogs usually can only be seen when the sun is rather low in the sky. So you will not see sun dogs when it's a midday sun.
Right. So it's like when you're driving home towards the west or something like that.
Yes, exactly. So they occur usually several times a month, but we usually don't notice every sun dog because we're not out at the proper times. And when there maybe is the right combination of sun angle and cirrostratus cloud. But they do occur frequently in this part of the country, and they do occur year-round, although we do, starting about this time of year, have more ice crystal clouds than we do in the summertime. But even in the summertime, up at that level, you'll have ice crystal clouds occurring.
Could I ask a second question?
Sure.
About rainbows?
Okay.
I notice, like, when I see a rainbow and I'm, like, driving, it seems to travel forward with me.
Yes.
And I guess that's because of my angle to the water that it's passing through, or, like, am I seeing it? Is somebody else who's, like, 20 miles ahead of me, are they also seeing it?
Let me throw in.
Sure.
You can take this one, but
go ahead.
What I think is interesting is there can be somebody standing next to you, and they may see a different rainbow. Now, they'll probably still see a rainbow, but that's light that's reflecting and refracting back to your eyes. So, yes, somebody nearby may see it, but the way the light's coming towards your eyes, no two people really see the same rainbows. It'd be interesting to have a rainbow in the sky and have a couple of people, maybe 20 feet apart, both take a picture of it. And granted, the changes would probably be very small, but still, everyone is somewhat unique.
And with rainbows, as you noted, the rainbow moves, and so good luck trying to find that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. But you'll notice with true rainbows, with the sun and raindrops, the rainbow is always in the opposite direction of the sun. So you put your back to the sun to be able to see the rainbow. And that's another phenomenon that only occurs when the sun is rather low because, I've got to go back to school to remember my exact angles. But I think that if the sun is around 50 degrees or higher in the sky, you're not going to be able to see a rainbow at all. And it's maybe even a little lower than that. So usually rainbows can only be seen in the morning and evening in the direction opposite the sun. In theory, you would be able to see a rainbow when the sun was high in the sky, but that's only if you're able to look down on the ground from above, because the sun is too high, so the entire arc of the rainbow would be in the ground, let's say. And actually, you only see the big arc of the rainbow because it does touch the ground on each side. Theoretically, a rainbow is a complete circle.
And try it with a garden hose.
Yeah, I was just going to say, several years ago, I did a program on optics at the planetarium, and one of the things I did then was go over to Dave's house when he had young children and aren't so young anymore.
This is true.
And had them go out. We had a video camera and a garden hose and made our own rainbow. So you can do that with the garden hose. The rainbow will appear in the direction opposite of the sunlight, but that's a good way on a sunny day to maybe have a fun activity. Make your own rainbow.
Well, thank you.
Well, thanks for calling. And as we move along on Sky Guys here on the Afternoon Magazine on WILL, we do have a caller on line one, I'm told, so we'll move right along to line one.
I'll hang on.
Hi.
Yes, back to the rainbows.
Sure.
Does your explanation mean that if you were in the mountains and in the right position looking down into a valley you would be able to see a rainbow at midday or closer to it.
I think that you would be able to, that the possibility does exist, yes. If you're looking down, what you have to do is be able to see within a certain number of degrees from the point opposite the sun. So if you are looking down, yeah, that would work, I would think. And also from an airplane, you can see rainbows that you would not be able to see from ground level.
And
yeah. Yeah, I believe that to be true, yes, because I'm thinking through that, but sure. And I have, come to think of it, I think I have seen a rainbow from an airplane before, which could see more than just that half arc.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think. They have different names for them, and I may not be right on this because I don't have this in front of me, but I've seen, I think astronomer Jim Kaler has taken a couple of these pictures where if you're looking at the shadow of the airplane on the clouds, so you're looking down. Don't they call those glories?
Yes. I have seen those before. They're really cool. You can basically, what it is you see the airplane shadow, but then around it there's this area of color, and that is called a glory, and that's something you can't see unless you're up in the air flying and can see the shadow of your airplane. Glories are much smaller, though. But, yeah, the rainbow, actually, I think the arc of a rainbow is about 42 degrees, the primary bow.
I think that's right.
So the sun's got to be lower than 42 degrees to see an actual rainbow, one produced by raindrops and sunlight. But if you're up high and can look down, then you can see a rainbow with the sun higher in the sky.
Well, thank you.
Fun stuff. And, of course, rainbows caused by reflection and refraction. Mm-hmm. And try to say those two words back-to-back several times quickly.
Wait, now I'm a physics teacher, so I might be able to do that.
Yeah, you know, those two words, reflection and refraction.
Yep, very different.
And the refraction is the part that gets the different colors.
Mm-hmm. And that's dispersion.
That's dispersion. That's another type of light bending.
Yeah, because of wavelength, yeah.
But anyway, and also with primary rainbows, obviously the colors go in a certain order, and I always look for that when I'm looking at children's books, for example. Did they do the rainbow correctly? And with a primary bow, the red's on top, violet's on the bottom. Whereas the secondary bow, it's reversed because you have a double reflection and all that. So,
I think it's funny that you say you look at kids' books that way. Of course, you'll be looking at a lot of kids' books here in the next few years, but I always did that with moon phases. You know, I actually use this in class. I have a picture from a children's book, and this little girl is putting on her pajamas, getting ready for bed, but with the moon, with the phase it is outside, she's getting ready for bed at about 3 a.m., and you know, what has she been doing all night?
Don't you check the validity of movies that way too?
Yeah, I guess shouldn't go to movies with us, right? We just pick that stuff right out of there.
Exactly, and find the inaccurate weather as well. Well, anyway, you're listening to Sky Guys. I'm Ed Kieser along with Dave Leak. I handle the meteorology questions, and Dave is the astronomer here. He's from the William M. Starkel Planetarium at Parkland College. And if you have a question about astronomy or weather, give us a call. The numbers are 333-9455 and 1-800-222-9455. We still have a lot of time on the program, and so if you have a question, it's a good time to call now. We seem to get calls a lot at the very end of the show and then can't take them all. So right now the lines are open. And
I know something I'm very happy about. We've published our World of Science lecture series list, which our talks at the planetarium are on the first Friday of the month. So we got one coming up here in October.
A week from Friday.
That's right.
Can you believe that's October already?
No, I can't. But it is. But I see a name on there that I'm really excited about, and it's
Jesse Miller.
Well, I was looking at the first Friday in November. Of course, all the names excite me. I think we got a really good lineup.
Well, we had
a
question earlier today. Tom Rogers is talking to me about this show, and Jim Kaler's name came up, and he does an annual show, and this year it's December 4th.
That's right. He's going to be talking about the sun in December, and somebody you might have heard of named Ed Kieser is going to be out in November.
Yeah.
So
well,
we're excited about that one.
We weren't able to get the tornado show in the spring, so it's going to be better late than never this
That's
year.
Right.
So I'm going to be talking about late season tornadoes on Friday, November 6th at 7 p.m. at the William M. Starkel Planetarium at Parkland
That's
College.
Right. Admission's only a buck, and I happen to know from your other talks that we can have tornadoes in November.
Yeah, in fact, several years ago when the Bears were in town, there was a threat of severe weather, and some nasty storms went by to the south and east of Champaign-Urbana. Didn't affect Champaign-Urbana proper, but there was a little concern that day, and I think that was that all the way back to 2002 the Bears were here?
I don't know.
Boy, the time flies. Van Wert, Ohio was hit with a F4 tornado that day in November.
In November.
Yes.
Amazing.
So it can happen in the Midwest at that time of year. We now have some callers lining up here, so we want to get to them. And, we have a caller from Indiana, Tara Hoad, on line 4. Good afternoon, and welcome to Sky Guys.
Good afternoon. I have another rainbow question.
Sure.
I saw a double rainbow. How does that work? And I'll just hang up and listen. Well, two rainbows, one above, above the other.
Ed's got most of the information in front of him, but it has to do with light coming in to a little raindrop. Imagine just an ideal raindrop being like a circle or a sphere, I should say. And as light comes into the raindrop, it enters at such an angle that it gets reflected off the back. Now, it's something in physics called total internal reflection. And most of the time when you shine a light through something, like say from water into air, it will bend, it will refract, but it will pass through. But you reach an angle as such where it actually will get reflected, and that what one internal reflection will give you your primary rainbow. Now, if the angle is such where you have two internal reflections inside this raindrop, that's what gives you the secondary rainbow. And Ed may have all the angles and things in front of him. I don't have those here, but I know it's the difference. And of course, you know, you look in your mirror and you see how things are reversed. And I believe that's what reverses the colors, is that second reflection inside the raindrop. There is, it's very rare, but I believe there is where there's
supernumerary bows.
Yeah, where you have three reflections inside the raindrop and you actually can get a rainbow that's in the direction of the sun. I've only seen that once in my life. It was out in Colorado. It was nothing about a valley. It was, you know, looking up. But it's very, very faint and very rare because obviously the sun usually drowns that out. So, you know, and of course, since they're from raindrops, a lot of times, you're looking in the direction of the sun. Most of the time, there's rain cloud there or something. So it's kind of a rare circumstance. But it does have to do with one reflection or two internal reflections inside a raindrop. You got anything more over there on your?
Well, no, I'm just going to – you've summarized it fairly well. The primary rainbow has an angle or an arc of about 42 degrees centered on – a point opposite where the sun is.
Mm-hmm.
The secondary rainbow is at about 50 degrees. So it's above the primary bow. And again, it's that double reflection. And really, sometimes not all of the light gets through the raindrop the first time. So it gets that double reflection. So the better the raindrops are, however you define better, the better chance, I guess, the more uniformity and in proper shape, the better chance there is of seeing the secondary bow. I've seen many secondary bows, just they're often very, very faint. Rarely do they get vivid. And and the secondary bow, I've never seen one. I don't think it can be as vivid as the primary bow. But on occasion, you'll see a really good secondary bow. And as Dave mentioned, with that second reflection, the colors are reversed on the secondary bow. So the secondary bow has red on the bottom and violet on the top. And then sometimes there are some more bows above that one, not to mention what you said about seeing one opposite the or on the same side as
the
sun, which I've never seen. But supernumerary arcs are sometimes what they're called, that you can see above the top of the primary bow a little bit, that occasionally occur. But usually it's just the primary bow and the secondary bow that we see with a typical rainbow.
And I have photographic proof of what is at the end of a rainbow. that somebody sent to me. They have a picture of the rainbow, and as the rainbow comes down towards the ground, there's one of those porta potties there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I don't know if that's what they meant by a pot of gold, but yeah, I have that picture.
Well, I'll let you go investigate that. I hope that helps. And we move on. You're listening to Sky Guys on the Afternoon Magazine. Dave Leake is with me. I'm Ed Kieser. And if you have a question, you can still get in on the conversation. 333-9455, the number to call, or toll-free 1-800-222-9455. And we now move to line one. And good afternoon. I don't know if you're from Champaign or Bloomington, but wherever you're
Bloomington.
From. Bloomington.
And actually, I had called before, but what the last caller is, your answer to his question prompted me with one more question. And I may have just misunderstood, but when you're talking about the double rainbows, are you talking about it's coming from the same raindrop? The
yes.
Two rainbows? Oh, so okay. So it's not a different raindrops.
Yeah, okay. Because it's a collection of raindrops, really. Now, Dave's looking puzzled there.
Well, I'm trying to remember the diagrams that I run across this in my class, but haven't done that yet, and I'm trying to remember the diagrams. It seems to me that it's the same rainstorm, but it may be a different raindrop.
Okay.
Because it has to do with...
Yeah, it's just, it's some... Okay, some of the light... Yeah... Boy, this is taking me back. It's a light that doesn't make it through the first raindrops. Well, it may be, but the double reflection.
Yeah, well, of course, the light has to enter the raindrop. If it's going to have a double internal reflection, it's probably going to enter the raindrop at a different angle. So that's what makes me think. And if the sun's light's all coming kind of parallel from the same direction, that's what makes me think that it's probably a, you know, like if the raindrops are falling that, and I don't know if I can go on record as saying higher or lower, but maybe it's, you know, higher above the ground or lower. It seems to me it's different though, but I may be wrong on that one.
So my vague recollection, and now I wish I had that book with me, was that actually it could all be from the same drop, but I could be wrong too. I remember actually drawing those diagrams in a class more than 25 years ago.
Yeah, I brought some materials prepped today, but I didn't bring my rainbow stuff, so shame on me.
Yeah, but it's certainly the same storm, same collection of drops.
Yes.
And actually, when you get right down to it, the raindrops are falling, so it's constantly the individual drops. It isn't that you're seeing a rainbow off one specific drop anyway, because the drops are continually moving, but the rainbow stays in the same place. So the process, what's going on, so it may not be the same exact drop at that moment, but it's the same vicinity, the same collection of rain. I guess that's a way to get out of that one. But that's that is what's going on, because the drops are falling.
Right.
And so it
makes sense.
So you don't see the rainbow fall with the drops, because it has to be the exact angle. It has to be the right angle from your eye and from the sunlight being reflected and refracted and maybe reflected again through the rainbow or through the raindrops. Wow. This is something that's easier to talk about with a blackboard and drawing.
Yes. We'll draw this out here, and then all the listeners at home can check it out.
But it's fun stuff. I like talking about it. Well, thanks for your call. I hope that helps. And we're going to move on to, I guess, line two now. Good afternoon. Welcome to Sky Guys, line two.
Hello, yes. I would just ask for your help identifying a light in the sky. At around 8 o'clock, I look to the east, 8 at night, and I see a light in the sky, and it's the only one that's really bright. I was just wondering what that is.
Yeah, 8 p.m.?
Yeah, around 8 p.m. looking east, southeast.
Okay, and when you threw in southeast, that makes
sense. I've got a guess.
Go for it.
Jupiter?
That's it. That's right. Yeah, Jupiter, when you said east, I was a little puzzled, but yes, Jupiter will be the brightest star-like thing in the southeast as the sun is setting and is getting darker.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for your call. And before we move on, briefly, you were telling me before we went on the air, there's going to be a couple of good opportunities to see the space station?
Oh, yeah. I brought that with me today, and I actually can't talk about that. If anybody wants to see the space station, there are some times that are better to see it than others. And tonight, believe it or not, is a very good time, starting at about 8:05. Now, it doesn't take long for the space station to cross the sky. So don't think, get out and see it sometime. But now tonight, the highest it's going to get in the sky is 48 degrees. So from the horizon to the point straight up is 90. So it's just a little bit over halfway. But it's going to come out of the northwest, and at 8:05, 3 minutes later, it will be at its highest point in the sky, and it's going to disappear soon after that because it's going to pass into the Earth's shadow. Huh. So it's not going to be not too far from the North Star. Now, I don't want to throw a bunch of numbers at you, but the brightest planet in the sky, in the morning sky now, is Venus, which is usually at what we call magnitude around -4, and the space station will be -3. So that this is going to be pretty bright.
And of course, the bigger the negative, the brighter object.
Now, another good one I will throw in is on the 25th, which is Friday, isn't it? Again, it will be even just a little brighter, and it will appear at 7:18. PM in the northwest, and it will get to be 51 degrees high, so a little bit higher in the sky. And this one will, since it's a little earlier, we're not going to pick up the Earth's shadow. This one will go all the way across the sky, and it won't disappear until 7:24. So 7:18 to 7:24, and that will be on Friday. So got a chance tonight, although I think it's kind of neat to see the space station go into the Earth's shadow, because you see this really bright thing. And then it doesn't blink out because, of course, the atmosphere, but it kind of slowly fades out, and it's kind of a
fade to black.
There you go. You could use this to, you know, impress the kids. Say, look at that bright thing. I think I'll make it go away. And and you could just kind of watch it disappear. So, again, that's starting tonight, 8:05, look in the northwest, and you might mistake it for an airplane because it'll be pretty bright.
Well, that's a question we get a lot. People want to see the space station, and it's, of course, we got to get the clouds out of there.
That's true. Now, that's your job. I can't deal with those.
Well, we'll see what we can do. Parts of the area will see it, parts will not, because there's going to be some breaks in the clouds in some locations and not others. That's how it is today. So.
Yep. Hit and miss.
Anyway, we're going to move on to line three. We have a caller on line three right now. Good afternoon. Welcome to Sky Guys.
Hi, I have another rainbow question. Why is a rainbow an arc? Why isn't it straight or other shape? Why is it an arc?
Well, it just has to – actually, if you were suspended in outer space, the rainbow would be make a complete circle. It would not be – just an arc, but a complete circle. And basically, it just has to do with sunlight. The sun is a point source of light. So the light comes from the sun, and then it is reflected and refracted by the raindrops that are out there in the direction opposite the sun. And then that light comes back to your eyes. But we only see the top part of the rainbow because the ground is there, and you can't see the raindrops fall. I mean, the raindrops hit the ground, so you don't have that effect all the way below the ground. But it has to do with the angles of which the light is being reflected and refracted through the raindrops and back to your eyes. And somebody else standing next to you would see a slightly different rainbow because it would be how the light is coming back to their eyes, and so on. And Dave, again, the physics professor, might add a little bit to that. But,
the only thing I'll add is, have you ever made, like, taken a piece of paper and used a compass and made a circle?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know how you have the little pointy part and you put that in the middle of your circle and then the pencil draws that? Well, since the sun has to be behind you, so now you've got your back to the sun, you can look at the top of your head and see, like, the shadow up on the ground at the top of your head. That's where you put the little point of the compass. Oh. It's called the anti-solar point. And then you draw a circle completely around that point and make it a, was it 42 degrees, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
A 42-degree circle. And as Ed said, you don't see the bottom of the circle just because there's no raindrops there. You're going to, you know, you're just seeing the ones that are falling from the sky. So that's why it's really a circle about this anti-solar point, but it's cut off. So you, okay. and that's why it's that way. Again, okay. what if you heard what we said to another caller, you can do this and the sun doesn't even have to be low, but take the garden hose out and put it on that fine mist and just have some fun with it. And you can actually see this circle.
You can see the whole circle.
Yes.
Well, because you're making, you know, the raindrops aren't falling, you know, at a distance. You're making the mist right there.
Right.
But yeah, try it. See, okay. see if you can make the full circle.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Fun with garden hoses.
Yeah, you know, we shot that that video with your kids, but you know, when I'd be watering the garden. No, periodically, I'd just like to stand there and
yeah.
make a rainbow. And
we shot a lot of video that day. You should have seen my water bill. Just for...
right. It's a good thing it's before all the rate increases, huh?
That's right.
We couldn't afford it today. Well, anyway, you're listening to Sky Guys on the Afternoon Magazine. We're sitting in for Celeste Quinn today. Dave Leake is here. He's the coordinator of the William M. Starkel Planetarium and is really knowledgeable on questions on astronomy and physics, and I'm meteorologist Ed Kieser and know a little bit about the weather. And if you'd like to call in, we still have several minutes here, but the time is starting to run down. Give us a call, 333-9455, 1-800-222-9455. Again, 333-9455, 1-800-222-9455, and of course, 9455 spells out WILL. And now that people text message, people are starting to get back to relating letters to the numbers.
Yes.
Like the really old days with the telephone exchanges starting with words rather than numbers.
That was before my time.
I don't know what they were here.
It might have been your time, but it's before my time.
My first phone number was Skyline 211199.
Oh, well, that kind of fits.
Yeah, it does.
We need to get Sky Guy's phone numbers.
Yeah, Skyline 2. Yeah, I never really put that together because I haven't thought of that in probably 40 years. But okay, well, we do have a caller on line one coming along here in a moment, so we will be able to take that in. It looks like line one is ready. Good afternoon. Welcome to Sky Guys.
Hi, just a couple of comments on the last call, or last two calls. I'm enjoying your show. We took our group of Boy Scouts out a week ago Tuesday night with the space station passing over, and the shuttle had undocked earlier that afternoon, and we get to see the shuttle go over with the space station about 40 miles behind it. That's a spectacular view to look for if you can get the timing right.
Yeah, isn't that neat? That's neat to see.
And the other thing, as an aviator, you don't have to be in space to get the full circle. Flying over a cloud layer, if you can look down and see your aircraft shadow, you'll see the full circle rainbow around it in the cloud. Or standing on a cliff, you can pull the same thing.
We were thinking that was called a glory. Is that, you ever heard that name?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a theory that's why they paint saints with a halo around them is because somebody had been meditating on a mountaintop, and if there's three of you on the mountaintop, each of you will see the glory around your own head and not the other people.
Interesting. I never thought about that. You mentioned something about the shuttle going over. It was something our artist photographer Pam Free saw. This was a glow kind of tray. It almost looked like the shuttle was a comet. Well, they'd done this water dump, and it created this glow in the sky behind the space shuttle, and several people wondered what that was. So I guess the moral of that story is sort of watch when you flush the toilets.
Yeah, probably ionization.
Yeah, I missed that. I was actually doing a show at that time, but I heard it was a pretty neat sight.
Neat. Well, thanks for taking my call.
Well, thanks for calling. And Dave, talking about glories, I wanted to confirm. I looked something up online because my memory fading a little bit, but confirm what I thought. Glories are actually formed by diffraction.
Okay.
So you mentioned diffraction earlier. with rainbows, it's reflection and refraction. Mm-hmm. The sun dogs, that's just the refraction of light through ice crystals. A glory is formed by diffraction of light, and the raindrops, or I shouldn't say raindrops, the cloud droplets, the droplets making up the cloud that you look down to see the glory, have to be rather uniform, and the smaller the droplets, the bigger the glory. And as you noted with the rainbow, the center of the glory, which would be the shadow of the airplane, mm-hmm. is at the anti-solar point, the point mm-hmm. opposite the sun.
Makes sense.
But, yeah, I've seen those a few times, and I often travel on an airplane with a camera, and it seems whenever I don't have the camera out, that's when the glory appears. And they are beautiful. I really like seeing glory, and it's pretty cool looking. Well, we have, I think we do not have any callers online right now. We have about 10 minutes left. Actually, that just went down to 9 minutes. But if you have a call about anything weather-related, we seem to be talking about atmospheric optics a lot today. And that's a fun thing Dave and I always have, is we never know. We never know yeah. where the conversation's going to go. And atmospheric optics are something that's fun to look at in the sky, as we want everybody to look at the sky, whether it's this optical phenomena or higher up into the celestial bodies that are out there, the stars and the planets. But if you have any questions about any of those topics, give us a call, 333-9455 or 1-800-222-9455. We have that toll-free number, and I know we can be heard online just about anywhere. So anywhere you can get a internet connection that gets you audio, we're out there. So who knows where the next call may come from. It does look like we have a call coming in now on line one. So good afternoon from Champaign. Go ahead.
Hi. I have a question about heat lightning. We haven't had a lot of it this summer, but whenever it happens, I always wonder, because people say we don't really have heat lightning. But several times when it's really hot and humid in the summer, we'll see lightning flashes in the distance, but there's no storm, no rain, no thunder. So what is that?
Good question.
Well, it's a good question, and the answer is the lightning is real lightning coming off a thunderstorm probably a couple hundred or more miles away. And when you get hot and humid conditions, sometimes the light will bend along with conditions in the atmosphere so you can see it from a great distance. So it's called heat lightning because it's usually seen on a hot, humid night, as you noted, from when you've seen it. But it's not some magical phenomenon taking place. It's actually lightning from a thunderstorm. It's just the thunderstorm is so far away that you cannot actually see the bolts of lightning, as the thunderstorm would be beyond what you could see on the horizon, and also way too far away for you to hear thunder. So it can be a clear night, and there will be some of those flashes. So that's something that occurs every summer in the Midwest, and you noted this year you didn't see it as much. This year has been an unusually cool summer.
Yeah, it has, hasn't it?
And we haven't had a lot of those hot and humid nights.
This has been the best summer I can remember in Champaign-Urbana.
And it's continued through September.
Pleasant. I know. Days and days in a row when it's, you know, 80 during the day and 60, you know, 55 or 60 at night, it's perfect.
I agree with you there.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
And just unfortunately, it's also perfect weather for the for the soybean aphids.
Soybean aphids.
All the bugs. All the bugs. In fact, today I was noticing those Asian ladybugs are coming in.
Good.
They want to hibernate.
Well, no, well, the Asian ladybugs, from what I read, want to eat the soybean aphids,
yeah.
So go for it.
Well, there's a feast here.
Oh, I'll shove them back outside and tell them to eat.
There you go.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Well, thanks for your call. 333-9455, 1-800-222-9455. The numbers to call if you have a question related to the sky.
Or soybean aphids.
No.
Yeah.
we've talked about as much as
we know. We know nothing about soybean aphids.
Well, I know a couple weeks ago I was out at the planetarium as we had a special special presentation for some donors of WILL to the opening of a new show titled Two Small Pieces of Glass, and that's now what, every Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. at the Planetarium?
Yeah, yeah. We're doing that Friday and Saturday night. It's our little tribute to the International Year of Astronomy. And the show was actually produced part in Hawaii and part in Pittsburgh. And I think they did a really nice job. So it's kind of the legacy of the telescope.
The legacy of the telescope.
Yeah, that's not the official subtitle. I just made that up, but... it's a pretty neat show. So, yeah, Friday, Saturday night at 8 all the way up to Thanksgiving.
And we may talk more about what you have coming up at the Planetarium a little later, but right now we do have a caller online, too. And this caller, I say, is on the way from Ohio to here.
Hey, Champagne. Uh-huh. Hi.
Good afternoon.
Yes, I was listening to your rainbow questions, and I was thinking of an analogy for people that the circular raindrop, first of all, I thought it bounced off the front of the raindrop. I didn't realize it was inside refracting back. But I know if people have ever played ball up against a round surface, or like you see hockey where there's a round the round arena and the hockey puck goes up against that, the puck bounces back out at an angle rather than straight back because the hockey arena is curved. So therefore things, when they bounce off of there, bounce at an angle. And that is why the rainbow is curved, I think. And I see the same thing with these raindrops, that it would go in and the light would bounce back out at an angle, and it would be circular because the raindrop itself is circular on the far side. Just a thought.
Well, yeah, that's a way to look at it. And it really, the process with the light, the light enters the drop and is refracted, and it's actually reflected off the back of the drop.
Yeah, you have to go for that reflection. You have to go from a more dense medium to a less dense, which is sort of the water to air, and there you get the total internal reflection.
And then there's another little bending of the light on the way out of the drop as well. So it goes through two refraction and one reflection.
Yeah, in a very strange twist, the similar thing happens if you ever go in for arthroscopic surgery. Because they can put something or colonoscopy or something like that as they move this camera around in a curved space, the light bounces through that and we can actually form an image at the other end of it. So, it's similar to that. The whole fiber optic phone cable, how we can get light to go down that is if you hit it at a kind of a glancing angle, you get the reflection inside.
Well, there's a thing to do if we need a procedure. Just think about all that and not.
You didn't want me to bring that up, did you?
Yeah, don't want to concentrate on what's really going on there. Well, thank you for your call, and yeah. We have time for maybe one more call if we get one in quickly. And the number to call 333-9455 1-800-222-9455. We're quickly coming to the end of the program. Dave, any final things you'd like to comment on? Well, quickly, because we do have a caller.
Oh, okay. I just throw in, with it being the International Year of Astronomy, the local Astro Club is taking telescopes to some of the local parks. And we were in Clark Park last night looking at Jupiter. Thursday, tomorrow night, we're going to be at Garden Hills Park. Now, this is only weather permitting. If it's cloudy, there won't be anything to see. But 8 to 10 at Garden Hills tomorrow night. And next Monday, we'll be at Centennial Park, probably near the pavilion, not up near the high school or junior high, probably near the pavilion. And if it's clear, come out for a free look at Jupiter and craters on the moon.
And quickly, we'll now go to line one. And if you're the final caller today on Sky Guys.
Oh, hi. I hate to throw something else into the mix, but, you were talking about fiber optics and, how it allows you to see inside the colon and get an image on the other end. And that has to do with the index of refraction of light,
right.
Light travels at a different speed. And, that property is what allows us, to use fiber optics. That principle is also employed in, the determining cuts of various gemstones to maximize their brilliance and reflected light. So
exactly.
Next time you get a colonoscopy, just think about diamonds.
There you go.
All right.
Okay. And happy birthday to my daughter in Bloomington Normal. She's 20 today.
She's 20. And
you had to get that in.
And my daughter, Luciana, is 14 weeks today. Quite a difference. And thanks to everybody for listening. Our technical director this afternoon, Henry Frain. Our producer for the show, Harriet Williamson.